Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
But I often find that today, spiritually speaking, when people are in the wilderness of sin, there's no seed, no fig, no pomegranate, no water, because it is a desolate place of destruction away from God. You can't plant anything in sin and expect to reap any good rewards. But anyways, I don't want to deviate too much. It's just a passing thought. Moses and Aaron, verse 6, they go from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle. That would be the place where God is. And they fell to their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to them and said to Moses, saying, take the rod, same rod, gather the assembly together, you and your brother Aaron, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will give forth his water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. You and the congregation and their beast will drink. God is being very similar to what he said in Exodus 17. Take that rock, go before the people to the rock, and speak. Now take the rod, but speak. Moses takes the rod. He starts to obey. Moses and Aaron gather the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? They're before the rock. I'm not the biggest fan of the way he's talking to them. I know they are trying to rebel. But you think that he could have had a little bit better attitude. And his attitude may be the catalyst, for the reaction that he has. I tell you what, Moses, it seems like here, it's not just that he's going to do something, he's going to overdo it. Moses lifts up his hand, probably his right hand, I don't know that, but I've got something in my right hand, so in his left hand, and the rod, and he's there at the rock, and he doesn't speak to the rock, but he hits it, bang, and he hits it, bang. Pause there. He's disobeyed God. I've often wondered if he did it twice to indicate this is the second time, to differentiate this from the first time. But friends, I tell you what, if he'd just done what God had done, it would have been different in the first place. Same location, different instructions. But I want you to note just how awesome of a God we serve, the same God that they were serving. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank. And their beast also. Moses disobeyed God. And Aaron is in there too. But God's people still need this water to live. So God still provides the water. But Moses and Aaron disobeyed. So God rebukes. God chastises in love. But chastises Moses and Aaron. He spake unto Moses and Aaron, verse 12, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. What's he saying? God's not happy. He says, I am not happy with you. This was supposed to sanctify them, to set them apart, to set me apart in their eyes, God says. For you to have this command of me to speak and not touch. Imagine how amazing, first off, water from a rock would be. But second off, for Moses to stand there and speak to the rock, not touch it, and water come forth. Well, that would be even cooler. That would mean even more to the Israelites. God says that was supposed to set me apart in their hearts. But because of you, that didn't happen. Now you don't get to bring them into that promised land that you've been working for. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. I want you to note still the fact that God takes care of his people. But I want you to think about Moses. We know the first 40 years of his life, he lives in the palace. the second 40 years of his life, he lives as a shepherd. And the third and final 40 years of his life, he leads the children of Israel in the wilderness. From what I can tell, this happens a little past midway through the wilderness wandering period. I'm not going to put a specific time in that 40 years. I know it's in the first month. But Moses now, I don't know if you ever thought about this. Moses now has to continue to lead the people to a land that no doubt they are talking about still. No doubt they are longing and he longs to get to that he doesn't get to see. Why? He disobeyed God. God is nice to Moses. You might look at it, he is nice. Well, God is always nice. But there, right before the end of his life, he gets to go up to a mountain. God shows him, says, there's the promised land. So in one sense, I see that as a good thing for Moses. But I can see that being a big heartbreak. Here's the thing you've been longing for, and it's within eyesight, but you don't get to go there. Why, Moses? Because you disobeyed God. Well, I want us to very quickly, before we look at our lessons learned, I almost just had 2 points, but I thought it'd be beneficial here to throw in. I'm just going to go ahead and put all three of these up here about God's commandments. Friends, when God commands something, he means it. He meant the first time to strike the rock. He meant the second time to speak to the rock. Also note,
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
The first time Moses did what he was commanded, but the second time he wasn't. God had changed his commands. You know, under the Old Testament, they did things one way, but brethren, we don't live under the Old Testament, and we can't live under the Old Testament and be forgiven, be justified, have that eternal home with God. But I want you to note, flip with me very quickly, this is the last passage we're going to examine, then we'll learn our three or so lessons. 1 John 5 and verse 3. Go with me to almost the end of the New Testament. 1 John 5 and verse 3. We're going to talk about love, but notice what John, the beloved apostle, says. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now that's a great statement in and of itself. God loves us enough that he gave us commandments, and we ought to love him enough that we would keep them. But brethren, I want you to notice that last sentence. And his commandments are not grievous. Newer translations, some of the more reliable ones, say burdensome. What does that mean? If you think about Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. It's a light yoke. He doesn't say you get off scot-free. He says you're going to have to work, you're going to have to do things, but it's not a heavy yoke. His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not burdensome. It's not that they can't be done, but they require work. Brethren, when God commands something, he means it. What lessons can we learn from Meribah? Number one, God's commandments are specific, and they must be obeyed. You know, when I wrote this, I was thinking, what about God's commands for salvation? What if I don't want to hear Romans 10:17, believe, John 8:24, repent, Luke 13:3, confess, Matthew 10:32-33, be baptized, Mark 16:16, live faithful, Revelation 2:10. What if I don't want to do all that? What if I just want to believe and maybe confess and live faithful? Brethren, all of that's God's commands, and I can't pick and choose which ones I want to obey to be pleasing to him. God's commandments are specific, and every single one of them must be obeyed. Number two, another lesson that I've learned that you can learn from this passage, God does not tolerate when people disobey or ignore His commandments. In fact, it grieves Him. Now, today, if people don't obey or if people ignore His commands, I'm lumping that in together. Some people, they ignore it purposely. Some are ignorant of it. But regardless, God doesn't always, well, God today doesn't say, well, because you've disobeyed, you don't get this, that, or the other. But there are punishments if you don't obey God's commands. What's the ultimate punishment? Death. Not when my heart stops pumping blood throughout my body, but eternal death, that is an eternal separation between God and man. But you go back to the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, God says you can eat of anything you want to, but don't eat of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Genesis 2:17, other passages in Genesis 2 and 3. And what happened when man ate? God didn't tolerate it. Brethren, God gives us specific commands. They're not burdensome, but they are for us to be obeyed. Because if we obey them, if we do what God has said, then we receive the benefits. We receive the blessings. But if we don't obey, then we don't receive the blessings. But one other lesson we can learn, and I think this one is almost a hidden gem in the waters of Meribah. Brethren, it's that God always provides for His people. Now, I knew that. In fact, I knew all three of these lessons before we went into this study here tonight. But why are we talking about God always providing for His people? Moses disobeyed there in Numbers 20, but what happened? God still provided water. Why? Because God's people needed water. We've often said how if you're faithful to God, it's biblical teaching, if you're faithful to God, He'll take care of your needs, not your wants. Water's essential to life. Jesus has a great discourse, a great discussion in Matthew 24 and following about how God takes care of the lilies of the field, the sparrows, the birds of the air. How much more so will your Heavenly Father take care of you, brethren? We need to be faithful to God, and He always provides for our needs. Now, He's not just going to say, because He doesn't speak to us today just directly, He just speaks through His Word, but He's not going to say, Justin, because you need $10 million, go open your bank account. He doesn't do that. I don't need $10 million. But God always provides for His people. God does not tolerate it when people disobey or ignore His commands. And God's commands are specific, brethren, and they must be obeyed. I hope you have enjoyed Meribah as much as I have. If you want a copy of these notes or anything we've talked about Moses related, my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources. Or you can Google my name, Justin Reed Bible. I did it on a new computer today just to make sure you do it just like that, R-E-E-D. My Bible resources page is the first link. Click on that. Be faithful and get to heaven. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior. I'm Jeff Argy. Google an idea, dear friends, and you receive many ideas, and you'll get advice on just about everything. It's also noted that YouTube is the second largest search engine on the Internet. Well, if you need to know how to do something, there's a video out there. But you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." God's Word allows us understanding for a clear direction. Would you like to have a clearer direction, dear friends? If we're going to look at Google and YouTube for the worldly ideas, then let's seek God's Word for the heavenly ideas and, even better, the true heavenly answers. Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com. Thanks for taking 60 Seconds for the Savior, and have a good day.